This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
All right, PT and Sal back, all the fan. Let's hit you with the king topic of the day. There's four names, in my opinion, that you should focus in on for the Jets and the Giants at the quarterback spot. Both need quarterbacks. Cam, Shador, Stafford, Fields. That's the list. I'm not saying you won't hear other stuff. I don't think it applies as much. And now the Giants and the Jets are going to have to navigate this very interesting next few days where there's smoke screens and there's all sorts of, you know, planted stories. And now you're going to start getting the hit pieces. Wow, Cam Ward doesn't process well. And Sanders might not be equipped to deal with the New York media. This guy, well, he's not a good locker room guy. What happens to these players now is really unfair because you've got grown men and women trying to slant the odds in their favor to have a better chance to draft some of these people. So the way they do that is by disparaging them off the record. And it happens all the time. But I can't stand it. That's one of the things I hate about the draft and the combine experience. But it is what it is. We've been through it long enough. I think the combine is boring. I think it's just, a regurgitation of ridiculous, you know, football cliches. Oh, wow, look at the swivel hips on that corner. And no kidding. They all played in the SEC and the Big Ten. If you're a quarterback and you're not running a 4-4, you ain't a quarterback. You're not a cornerback. So, like, it's just a lot of the stuff I finally learned what matters and what doesn't. And I think there's a lot of options that are presenting themselves to the Jets and the Giants. I think the Giants should really go full bore off after Stafford. I'm not worried about a potential $50 million price tag. I'm not. I am worried about some other teams that might try to get him before the Giants do. And, you know, from the Jets' perspective, even though the Jets are, quote-unquote, more ready to win or ready to win sooner than the Giants, I'm not going after Stafford. That's not what I'm doing. I get a sense the Jets, and there's some smoke around this, that the Jets are plotting to make a crazy move up for Cam Ward, if they do. And if they don't do that, for me, Justin Fields is a good balance where, you know, he can maybe steal a couple of wins with his legs. He was in a building for a good franchise a year ago. He watched Russell, who's not as good as he used to be, but he's still a good pro. I think it's probably the best way to go here. And I think that there's going to be some good options that present themselves to the Jets and the Giants, and now it's up to these regimes to, for once, you know, make the right choice, at least from, you know, the, and it's unfair to say for once for Muji because it's his first time doing this, but you know what I mean. These franchises have to hit. They've hit on some really good skill position players lately. You know, there are some really good players on both rosters. They've got to figure out the quarterback spots. All right, BT and Sal, 888-808-1019 on the fan. Also doing a little St. John's. I'll get back to the Mets and the level of urgency to make a trade for a pitcher as they are dropping like flies down there in Port St. Lucie. Mike's up in Westchester. Mike, what's going on?
What's up, BT?
Mike, how you doing, pal?
I really like the idea of having Justin Fields on the Jets. just for the mere fact that he's got a couple of years under his belt now, and, you know, to be reunited with Garrett, I think is huge. And I don't know, have you heard anything from Garrett this offseason at all?
From who? Heard anything from who? I'm sorry. Oh, from Garrett. No, the only thing that I did see the other day, and you know, again, I don't know, it wasn't really attributed to anybody, so that's why I didn't run with it, but it was like one of those quote boards, one of those graphics on Instagram, and it basically said that Garrett Wilson is likes the way the Jets have kind of positioned things, I guess, to him. And, I don't know. They're off. Like that, he doesn't want to be traded anymore. That he's rescinded the request for a trade, or that he's not going to go there. Now, it's obviously directly tied to Rodgers, which I think is ridiculous, because if the Jets don't make the right move here, you know, have fun getting 912 yards with a guy who can't throw the football. If they get the wrong guy, you know, I think Garrett Wilson was a little bit off base with that. But you know, Rodgers is gone, and whatever, you got to move on. So there, that's where we are.
Exactly. I think that's a huge, number one priority for Aaron Glenn is to get this team, get the morale back on this team. I feel like Garrett, if we lose Garrett, that's a big part of our offense, you know, gone. So
oh, yeah.
I would love seeing Justin Fields on this team with him. And we need a quarterback that can run. I'm tired of seeing a quarterback. He's standing in the pocket.
Yes.
Taking sacks. The way things are in the NFL now, you have to have a quarterback that can run. Look at Jalen Hurts.
I know.
We need that. I'm so tired of getting these, you know, washed up quarterbacks. Let's get a young couple of quarterbacks in here. Let's see what they can do.
That'd be nice. You know, it'd be nice to sit down. Thanks for the call there, Mike. Appreciate it, buddy. To sit down on a Sunday and watch, you know, some dynamic athletes doing their thing. You know, and Darnold, when the Jets took Darnold, he was I wouldn't use the word dynamic, but I remember he had a couple of runs. One, was it a Thursday or it probably was a Thursday night game against Denver where, you know, he had some good runs, but he just trucked one of their linebackers. You guys probably remember the play, like 20-something yards down the field. And Zach Wilson had some really good runs as a Jet as well, and we know Daniel Jones obviously did. So it's not like they've been completely without any sort of athleticism, but, you know, didn't have it last year with Rodgers. You know, when DeVito plays, you don't necessarily have quite that degree. And it's time. And it's time for a couple of reasons, because I think you need, it's proven that if you have that quarterback, like in the big games, like, you know, divisional round games and conference championship games, that guy is going to, at some point, you know, at home, on the road, in the snow, in the wind, in the rain, whatever, have a run that's backbreaking. And it doesn't have to be a 50-yard gash. It could be a 3rd-and-7 scramble that just breaks the defense's morale and those sticks move. How many times? Think about how many quarterbacks did that to the Jets last year. I mean, Jacoby Brissett did it. I mean, they couldn't stop. Drake May was doing it before he got hurt. Like, I don't. That is so frustrating. As I don't know if there's anything more frustrating than that. Yeah, when your quarterback throws a pick, that drives you nuts. But when you are sitting on that couch or you're in that stadium, especially if you're in the stadium and it's 3rd-and-whatever and you're on your feet and you're loud, you know, and you got that chant going, defense, where you're just making a lot of noise to make it hard to get the signals and hear the snap count, and it's 80,000 people in unison, and there's a back-breaking run. You're like, oh, God. You know, here we go, 1st down. And you just sit back down in your seat and, you know, slump the shoulders. Here we go again. You know, it's 5-6 more minutes before we get the football back. They're probably scoring. Like, that drives me nuts. So not only could it win you big games when you get to that next level, which the Jets and the Giants are nowhere near yet, but it could also help you steal some wins going from either a bad team or an average team to at least a competitive team. That's why I think Justin Fields makes a lot of sense for the Jets, because he can probably steal you a couple of games with his legs. 888-808-119, it's BT and Sal here on The Fan. Let me get Pam in Rivervale. What's happening, Pam?
Hi, BT. I'm such a huge fan, and I wanted to go back and talk about St. John's and Rutgers, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course. Because absolutely, yeah.
I just wanted to tell you that when Rutgers played at Madison Square Garden against Michigan State last month, they had over 18,000 in attendance. So I think there's a lot of energy for both Rutgers and St. John's, and I am rooting for St. John's. I'm like one of those people that roots for the local team unless my team is playing against them.
Yep.
But I wish there was a way that we could give the college teams in this area more attention. Like, for example, did you hear about that player on Monmouth that just broke the three-point record?
I didn't hear that. No.
Auburn, like,
no.
Why can't you support all the local college teams and all these amazing athletes in the tri-state area? It's so frustrating to me that we don't do that. And I was wondering what your thoughts were on that. And is there possible the fan could have 1 hour a week, or you could do it once because you seem so in tune with what's going on in college sports that we could cover our local teams and these amazing athletes that we have right here in the tri-state area?
Pam, listen, you got to understand what the engine is. And thank you for the call. I'm going to address a couple of those things. First of all, very quickly. Yeah, I was listening to Jerry. I was coming back, from a basketball, not from St. John. One of my kids had a game. I was in the car. I put him on Rutgers on the Fan. I heard Jerry doing that game at the Garden. No, I didn't say that. Please don't misinterpret. I'm certainly not trying to offend Rutgers at all. I got love for Rutgers. Definitely I have love for Jerry doing the games, no doubt. I love the, I know it's not called the Rack. I'll call it the Rack. I've done games there when they were in the Big East. I love the Rack. You know, I like to see Rutgers football get going a little bit more than they have. I got no problem with Rutgers. I like Rutgers. But what I mean by that, the lack of buzz, they're not going to be on the back page of the, not that everybody's picking up newspapers anymore. It's all digital at this point. But Rutgers can do whatever, and they're not going to be on the back page of the Post. They're just not. I would even say, I think of all the local channels, I think SNY, you know, Sports Night does probably the best job with this stuff. You know, and St. John's big win. Like, I know Nikki's at, I haven't seen her in the last couple of games. I've seen her at the Garden a lot. She's out there. And, you know, they do coverage. I know Eamon's a big sport, big college guy. Going to Notre Dame, he follows that stuff. And I'm sure other people do as well. But I think that, you know, if Rutgers has a huge win and St. John's has a huge win, who's getting more run? It's St. John's. That was my only point. That's it. Now, yeah, a different out in Jersey, the Jersey papers, yeah, it's going to be Rutgers, as it should be. And the thing about, like, the Michigan State-Rutgers game, I don't know, were there 19,000 Rutgers fans or were there 7,000 or 8,000 Michigan State fans? Honestly, don't know the answer, but again, got love for Rutgers, not about that. Why don't the other stories get the love that, that maybe Last Caller and some others wish that they did? Just doesn't move the needle the way you think it might. Now, I'll give you an example. So for years, even at the other station back in the day, like I would talk about this, and I would always have on like Bobby Gonzalez at Seton Hall, Louis Orr, may he rest in peace, when he was coaching Seton Hall. Jay Wright, when he was coaching Nova, obviously whatever St. John's coach it was going to come on the show. I would get the Boeheim. I'd get the coaches on, Huggins at West Virginia. Like, I love that. But not everybody does. And it's not an A topic. It's just not. Now, you go to the even smaller stories, like, I'm just throwing names out, like a Wagner or an FDU or a Monmouth or Marist, my alma mater. I mean, Marist is 20-5. They haven't made the tournament since Rick Smits in 1987. You don't think I want Marist to go dancing? Man, but do you care about Marist? No. And I know that. And we get judged, as I said yesterday, on ratings and revenue. You know, other school, like a Sacred Heart or, Fairfield's probably a little bit too out of the city limits, even though it's a good school. Same with Siena. But you know the local school, like Stony Brook out east, Hofstra out east. I know I'm missing a ton of schools here. You know, LIU, St. Francis, when they had a team, they got rid of their athletics, sadly, which stinks. But Iona, when Rick was there, and Ruland and others, I love those stories. I give those stories love. I try to, and probably more on social media. It's just not going to move the needle. See, the thing is, and I'm just going to be very honest with you. When you have a conversation on the radio, you know, and if you're a young broadcaster, whatever, like, listen to this. Anybody could get on the air and take calls. Any idiot could do that. That's the easiest thing in the world. Oh, call me up at the Fan. Wow. You're an amazing host. You can hit a button and people could call you. It's WFAN. People are calling no matter what. All right? So what you've got to do, and I think we do a good job, that's certainly our mission, is to layer and structure a conversation. You can't just get on the air and say, the Giants should get Matthew Stafford. You've got to give many reasons why. And once you get past the obvious, you've got to have subsets of those conversations. If not Stafford, who? What about the financial implication? Blah, blah, blah. You've got to layer it with nuance and intelligence and depth and passion. And the reason why it's hard for anybody to have one of those conversations about some of the smaller stories that our last caller called up about, and this is not a knock, this is the reality. They don't know anything about him. It sounds cool. Yay, go FDU. All right, where do you go from there? Wow, what a story. Wagner, I'm just throwing teams out. Wagner made the NCAA phenomenal. Huh? What's the next thing that you say? There's not much to add. And it's a conversation that just doesn't have a lot of depth to it. You know, and I think that we react to that. It's a compass. It's a guidance. Now, I'm going to give you more than, I'm not going to say everybody, I'm not going to be pompous about it, but I'm going to give you more than most, all right? Because I love it, and I know that you do, some of you do, but I've also got to keep that balance. Now, St. John's is different. I mean, St. John's is like a pro team, and Rick is an icon. It's the garden. It's the juice around St. John's is sellable anywhere. I'm talking about maybe some of the smaller stories. And I don't mean Rutgers. I mean some of the smaller schools beyond that. But appreciate the call. Let me get Frank in Roseland, New Jersey. Frank, what's cooking?
What's up, BT? How we doing?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Good. Two quick things, and I'll just get the Yankee thing out of the way. It's with the same injury, we have to get a third baseman now. I don't care about the luxury tax. We got to get a third baseman with the DH problem with Stanton, and the hole at third base, we got to do it now. But I wanted to talk about my general feelings on St. John's. I'm a New Jersey guy, and I root for Seton Hall just kind of because they're local. I have for a while now. But I was a Louisville fan the entire time because I'm a Rick Pitino guy.
Mm-hmm.
Watching them when I was in college and then after college in 13 when they beat Michigan, I grew up rooting for Pitino and Cal Perry. My grandfather kind of ingrained into me. Those are the coaches he rooted for.
Is he Italian? It seems Frank, you Italian?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I wound up rooting for Louisville, big time, and got to see them win a national championship. And it kind of fell off when he left. But I'm having some mixed feelings right now. I'm loving it. It's just kind of weird as a Seton Hall fan to be rooting for St. John's now. Watching this documentary and loving Pitino and loving what St. John's is doing, I'm all in as a diehard Seton Hall fan, yeah. Or at least a big enough Seton Hall fan. It's so weird to be rooting for St. John's the way I am right now. I'm so into this, and I'm so into the documentary.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get your take on kind of those feelings.
I understand that. It's tricky to, be a Seton Hall guy, as you are. And I've got a lot of respect for Seton Hall. I always have, really. And, say that you're rooting for St. John's, it seems like a contradiction. But, I just latch on to, if you grew up here. Now, if you went to a big school, that's a little different. If you went to like a Marist like me or a school like that, even though Marist has a football team, or you just grew up and the teams you want, Buckeyes, Michigan, USC, Texas, Wisconsin, OU, I'm talking about football, then your affinity for these smaller schools, even though St. John's has a lot of students, largest Catholic school in the country, but without a football budget, if you are a Catholic school and you have no football team, and most don't, I'm rooting for you. So I get it. I get it. Like when St. John's and they've had so many.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Irrelevant years here. Not that I'm putting on a Seton Hall jersey. I don't have any. I never would. But I want to see schools like that do well. When Jay Wright, I know they have a football program and a pretty good 1AA one. It's a great academic school. Love Villanova. Many things about Villanova. Love beating them more than anything. But I love them. It's a great school. But when Villanova won two championships with Jay, I'm like, that's phenomenal because it's counter to the big money machines that are dominating college hoops. I know NIL's kind of changed things a bit favorably for St. John's. I get that. But any story that is rooted in this is just how I'm wired. Not for everybody. That's cool. Like the little engine that could, like St. Peter's a couple of years ago, rooting like hell for Jersey City. Hell, like just going nuts for them. Then I actually had an old St. Peter's sweatshirt because I wound up doing a show out there 15 years ago, and I still had the sweatshirt. That I wore. I couldn't wear Seton Hall. St. Peter's I could justify. You know, no football, small Catholic school. Let's go. Make some money for the school and raise the profile. I will always gravitate to those stories. But again, the balance here is Yanks and Mets getting ready for the season. Jets and Giants, you know, hunting quarterbacks. The combine is upon us. The Knicks have a million issues. Like, it's just important for me to relegate those stories where they've got to go. But now it's changing. Now, like the juice around St. John's is just I've never seen this. I never have. So you better believe I'm going to ride this. And I think many of you are really jumping in and enjoying it because I think Rick's star power is adding five levels of aura to it that even if St. John's was 24-4 and seventh in the country with Mike Anderson, wouldn't feel the same. Like Rick's press conferences, his whole, again, aura, it's just different. It hits you different. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. Huff, of everybody at the station, I'm going to put my money on you to do the most damage at Wendy's.
I could do some
and
crazy damage.
I'm pretty high on the list myself.
My kids love the shakes.
Oh, yeah.
The Frosties or whatever. Yeah. Like my kids love them. But, yeah, I can go for the fries are the best, too. So, Wendy's is just awesome.
Nice, you know, nice and the fries. Certain things I could just eat nonstop. Like, just go and go and go.
Yeah, I miss when the thing that I missed most about the Yankee season is the giveaways, but then the Wendy's, like, deliveries.
Oh, they bring them, the breakfast stuff. They got great breakfast food. You're right. That is a good call. We'll be getting that soon. Nice. All right, here we go.
Let's go.
All right, so it's BT and Sal and all the Fan, 888-808-1019. So we heard before from the Giants general manager. We'll get back to these calls, but before we do that, let's hear from the Jets general manager. Mr. Mucci had a bunch of things to say. First up, what happened with Aaron Rodgers?
Just want to address the Aaron Rodgers stuff, get ahead of that. I'm not going to discuss any private discussions that I had with Aaron throughout this process, and really with any private discussion I had with any player for that matter. I'm not here to confirm or deny any rumors that happened during that process. I will say this. There was never an ultimatum or rules of engagement for Aaron to potentially join the Jets again. That never happened. AG and I had a lot of dialogue, a lot of conversations, a lot of good thoughts, and just felt at the end of the day it was the best thing for the Jets moving forward, just going a different direction at the quarterback position. So a lot of respect for Aaron Rodgers as a player and person. First ballot Hall of Famer. Wish him nothing but the best. But that was a decision we made, and look forward to kind of moving past that and into this next process here with free agency and the draft.
All right, so that started off a little bit on a rocky note there. I'm not here to confirm nor deny. But Mucci got it together. And by the way, we got to give him time to get used to this stuff. I mean, he is now the front man for the organization. And, you know, you get comfortable in front of a mic with time. Now, not everybody's great on a mic. Like, I think Cashman does a good job for the Yankees. We don't hear much from Leon Rose at all for the Knicks. Like, so it really depends. But I do think that was pretty solid. And I think really at the end provided a little bit of clarity if you choose to believe Mucci, and I will at this point, probably referencing the McAfee stuff, the OTAs. That's where he said, no, we did not offer an ultimatum. All right, so that's the Aaron Rodgers stuff. And because they've moved on from Aaron Rodgers, obviously now the plan is to exhaust all the options at quarterback.
We're going to exhaust all options. Obviously, there's a lot of intriguing prospects here this week at the Combine. We'll dive into that, some in free agency, and we'll keep all options open at quarterback and really every position on the team.
Short and sweet. I know that you probably want more as a fan. Trust me, I'd love a little more juice for the show. You don't have to provide more juice. Everybody knows why he's there. He's looking for a quarterback. He's looking at players. He's going to look at the free agents. He's going to make sense of what makes sense for the Jets. And again, a little short, but I think it's fine. I have no problem with that. Now, as they exhaust those options at quarterback, maybe they don't go quarterback at number 7. Thoughts on what they could do at number 7?
I do. I think at 7 right now, we're going to be open to potentially moving up for a player or moving back. All those options are on the table right now.
There you go. It's dumb and it's foolish to project anything other than that. hey, listen, we're open for business. If you're 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, whatever, and if you're in front of us, we might be calling you. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I'm curious about this because as of now, he's still here. And there's a thought that, well, without Rodgers, Devontae Adams is going to be next, and they could obviously save some money with the salary cap. Here's him talking about Devontae Adams.
Yeah, Devontae's on the team right now. Obviously, we have a plan there, and in the in the next few weeks, we'll kind of address that issue. But Devontae's on the team. Again, all those private discussions that I've had with Devontae, his representation, I'll keep private for now.
Yeah, he's going to be off the team. I mean, that's what I take away from that. Devontae's on the team for now, and we have a plan, but, you know, we'll address that in a couple of weeks. So you've got to get, I would think, past certain checkpoints here. You know, when can you cut them? Do you trade them? What's absorbable? Dead money, blah, blah, blah. Hop, did you hear the same thing that I heard there with the Devontae Adams? Do you think he's off the team? Think they're moving on?
Yeah, I think that was once they got rid of Aaron, once they said they got rid of Aaron Rodgers, I think Devontae was next.
Yeah, I think that's a layup. All right, so that's Darren Mooji, the new general manager for the Jets. How about our guy Aaron Glenn, former Jet player, first-year head coach for Gang Green, and he just sounds pretty pumped up to be at the combine and ready to roll. Here's AG.
I'm very grateful to be the head coach of this team. There's a number of things that has transpired over this first month of being the head coach. The things that have been most that's been important to me is the conversation that me and Mooj has had about this roster, about the coaching staff, the scouting department, and the conversation that I've had with our ownership group about how we see this team and moving forward. So those things have been outstanding to me. Listen, Mooj has talked about the Aaron Rodgers deal. I don't think there needs to be anything else said about that, especially with some of the players we have on the roster also. I don't think anything has to be said about that. And I'm excited. I'm excited for the forward thinking of this group and what we're going to do as a team. So we're here to win now, and we're looking forward to it. So any questions?
He's all business, this guy, man. AG, serious. I love him. I mean, maybe, listen, depending upon what they do at quarterback, when they say we're here to win now, could it wind up being a small contradiction? Not that I would hold it against them. I don't think you're a first-year coach coming out saying, yeah, we're going to get our brains beat and stripped down of assets and whatever. You know, you certainly project positivity. But if Tyrod Taylor is starting week one, you know, are you really trying to win? Whatever. You give both of these gentlemen a lot of room to get off the tarmac, get a little altitude, figure out what's what. So that is kind of an overview from Aaron on the entire franchise. What about a little more specifically what he looks for in a quarterback?
We're looking for winners.
Are you confident that you can find a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers for 2021?
We're confident we're trying to win games. So that may be, it is what it is. So, and that's it. And the thing is, I don't want to disrespect any other players we have on our team. And it kind of pisses me off and some of the other players that's what we all talk about. You have Quinnen Williams, you have Quincy Williams, you have AVT. Now you have Joe Tippmann. All those guys need to be respected as far as winning games also.
All those guys need to be, what was that last part? Respected? I don't understand that. All those guys need to be respected. I'm confused there.
I think he means that just because you lost Rodgers doesn't mean we can't have a winning team with the players we have.
Yeah, you are on top of it today, dude. That's like 4 for 4. Good job, Dove. Okay. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. They do have a lot of good players. What he's telling you is he doesn't think Rodgers is good enough. That's what he's telling you. That's it. And he probably wants somebody that's not stationary. And Aaron's, you know, pocket presence and his ability to move is just not what it was. So, again, I would have brought back Rodgers, but I'm not going to kick and scream. I'm on board with the decision. Trust the new regime until I have reason not to. Now, Hoff, was there one more or no?
Yeah, there's one more. I asked about, you know, if you talked to players about the decision to move on from Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Yes, I have talked to him. And listen, I understand the reaction of the players, but I will say this. Every decision that me and Mooj make is to win, and to win now. So I understand it. But again, listen, this is not going to be the last decision I make, right? That's going to upset some people. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Right? But as men, we talk about it.
That's right.
Make sure we keep it in house that we're going to continue to do.
I'm going to love this guy. I tell you, AG, he's the one. I'll put it on the table now. He's the savior. St. A.G. St. Aaron. Yes. Ironically, we thought it would be St. Aaron Rodgers to save us, but now we're putting the chips in the St. Aaron Glenn column. He just sounds like, I mean, and this is no surprise. I've obviously reacted to the hire. He's just a guy's guy. He is no nonsense. He is all in on trying to be the great coach. You know, he's told stories about how during the offseason, how he has spent time with you know, other coaches and the time he puts in, his delivery. It's just no nonsense. Like, I love a coach who's not trying to placate people. Like, he's not thinking about, he's not reckless, clearly, but he's not kissing anybody's ass. Hey, there's going to be other tough decisions I make. That's just the way it's going to be. And you'll find out when you find out. You're damn right we'll find out when we find out. I'm behind you, AG. I got you. He's going to lead us to the promised land, Hoff. I even like the way he says Mooj instead of Mooji. Mooj. Like, he's, man, I do admit that I'm eating it up a little bit more because he did play for the Jets and he was a really good player and he is from the Parcells tree and he was with Sean Payton. Like, there's a lot of reasons to like the resume of Aaron Glenn. There's a lot. And then you just listen to him talk and it's like, all right, that's a real one right there. I like him even more. BT and Sal back on the Fan, 1246 here. Coming up top of the hour, I want to get to some of these Met pitching issues here. Just at what point do you have to kind of say, all right, maybe we're running a little low on the reinforcements? I don't mean, you know, making some franchise-altering trade here, but just to get some quality arms in camp here. It's still early. That's where the Mets have certainly time. But, you know, it's one thing to lose Frankie Montas, who's at the back of the rotation. It's another thing to have a bit of an unknown here with Sean Manaea, even though I don't think it's nearly as worrisome as Montas, but at the top of the rotation. So we'll get to baseball. And something I saw Soto doing on the tee the other day that made me think of something that I want to share in the air. So we'll do some baseball coming up. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal. But now we're doing football, combine. Both GMs have spoken. Let me get Mario in Long Beach. Mario, what's happening? Hello? Mario, what's going on, buddy? Okay, I guess we have a little issue with the phones, yeah?
The issue is that Mario wasn't paying attention.
Is that what it is?
I think that's what it was.
You sure?
I'm 90%, 99% positive, but I could also be checked out. Who knows?
Well, I mean, how do you think that this goes? I know Sal used to call the station when he was, you know, young. I called the station, I think, twice. I never called Mike and Chris. I called overnights. I called Richard Neer once. On a Saturday morning, I got up really early and I tried to record it so I could hear myself and hear Richard, and he bounced me after like 8 seconds. And I called him up and I was like, you know, Rich, I think the Knicks got to find, you know, some of this. I mean, I was ahead of the curve in hindsight, but it was actually pretty basic, I guess. Like, the Knicks got to find a way to get Chris Mullin, ironically, with the CJ, Chris Mullin to the Garden to play with Patrick Ewing. And he's like, yeah, the Warriors are just going to, you know, the Warriors are just going to trade Chris Mullin. And he hung up on me. I'm like, oh, that was abrupt here. And the other time I was up in Marist because I used to fall asleep to the Fan, even north, you know, 90 miles north of the city, up in the Hudson Valley. And I did not get the reception crystal clear, which used to drive my best friend, my teammate, and my roommate absolutely bonkers because we shared a room. And I would just fall asleep, and he couldn't fall asleep with the radio on, and I'm like, well, that's too bad. I'm listening to the Fan, and it was like choppy, and you and then I'd get some like baseball, but I never hung on hold because I didn't call the Fan that much. If you call the Fan, how are you not ready to go?
Well, because
it's unacceptable.
This is something that I tell everybody. To not listen to the radio, listen to the phone.
That's true.
And especially now with the Odyssey app,
yeah,
honestly.
Yes.
How many times do I see people actually text me their conversation with you guys because you can just go to the Odyssey app and like screenshot it?
Are you talking about like buddies of yours that get in, people you know?
Yeah, it's so easy, but everyone is listening on the radio and they want to hear it live. I'm like, there's like a 10-second delay. Guy, come on, what are we doing?
Did you ever call a station?
I called K-Rock once.
What did you call Howard Show?
I did, yeah.
What year was this? About 90 what?
Not 90. It was 2000 something. I was working there. I called Howard Stern because they were talking about Courtney Love. She had just gotten arrested.
For what, heroin? Right?
No. I don't remember. I think she slapped somebody. She was in New York City, and I was at a concert at Irving Plaza. plaza
okay.
that she was at. Like, we were up at the same, like, VIP section, and I was chilling. I wasn't chilling with her, but I was, like, next to her.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, a few hours later, she got arrested.
So they wanted, yeah, what was she drinking a lot? What
yeah,
was she doing?
I called to give her, like, the play-by-play of what Courtney Love was doing prior to her getting arrested.
Yeah, you loved that. You had a pretty interesting radio existence before you got here.
Yeah, fun times. Not bad.
The Stern Show must have been nuts back then.
It was exactly
now it's horrible.
What you... Yeah, well, I
it's horrible. It's so boring now, but back then it was the best.
Yeah, that's how I became, that was like one of my first few weeks on the job. I had to pick up Jeff the Drunk, if you recall him. The episode where he, after he was done with like the Holly Weird Hall of Fame, whatever it was, he slammed his head into like an elevator shaft before, and I had to pick him up, and that was, I was on E. That was my 20 years old. That was my claim to fame.
Did you get paid for being on E? When they were carrying the show? Oh, no. Really? No.
I had to make sure that I got him back to his hotel safe and sound. I took him in the cab.
God.
It was a long cab ride.
We talk about Imus and, you know, rest in peace, but Imus was notorious for just being, you know, unapproachable unless you were like, I guess, Francesa, maybe Chris, or maybe one of the bosses. Was Howard cool?
Stern was the man. Every time I saw him.
What happened to him then?
I don't know. But every time I walked past him, he said, what's up? Talked to me about me a couple times on air. Just like, hey, I just ran to this guy. He seemed pretty cool.
I got you.
Whatever. But very nice.
He treated you well.
Very nice.
That's how you judge people. There you go. All right. Boy, Hoff. 888-808-1019 is the number. Let's get to Jeff in Scarsdale. Jeff, what's going on, buddy?
Yes, sir, Mr. Tierney. A pleasure to speak to you.
Hello, Jeffrey.
Yes. I was wondering if I can, I got a real interesting scenario, but before that, can I do my quick UB Brown impersonation going over St. John's?
You know what? I'm going to let you, this could be interesting, but I'm going to, because I love Hubie and you know how I feel about St. John's, I'm going to give you a little room to do it. Go ahead, Jeff. Break a leg, buddy.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Now, when you comes down to this, we all know that St. John's has a suffocating three-point defense, but we also know that when it comes down to a tight game deeper in the tournament, will their free throw shooting hold up? At 50% a clip, that will not do it. They will need the number to be closer to 65%, as well as getting up from 25% three-point to about 35 to 40%. He will give you major minutes, no doubt, at the one. Ojafor can do it, as well as the rebounding explosive potential of St. John's. I'd like to know what your opinion is of that.
Honestly, Jeff, not bad. It was almost like, and I love Hubie Brown. Hubie Brown was my first Knicks coach. I mean, I actually got
a quick Pacino one coming up.
Yeah. Well, I remember seeing Hubie like when I was a kid, when he was Bernard was on the team, and like Louis Orr and those guys and Sparrow. I've got great love for Hubie. And you know what? I think you sound like him a little, but it's the rhythmic delivery. Like, he had a very unique, and he just did his last game like 2 weeks ago. He's 92. He's the best. The way you, it's almost like robotic. I think you nailed that part. So, yeah, good job.
A quick one. And by the way, you have amazing, and we, you know, you have great soul, and you are great. You're so likable and knowledgeable, and you're a man's man yourself, and you're tough. And at the same time, you have the soul, and I can't say enough great things about you.
I appreciate that, man. Really. No, that's kind, man. Thank you, dude.
Thank you. This is a scenario, call me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know Pacino is entrenched at Madison Square Garden with Dolan. He's played a big part in getting St. John's back there, and they're very happy with it, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
What he's bringing to the Garden. Should the Knicks fail in the first round or the second round, and should St. John's get to a Final Four or better, will that be enough, for Pacino to say, I've done my job? And will that be enough for Dolan to come calling? And I'll hang
that's
up.
That's a really,
you. Thank
that,
you.
You. Jeff, you thank good call. Thank you. That's an interesting question. It's an easy answer. No. And the reason it's an easy answer, and I got this from Rick himself, listen, he's not going to Indiana. He's staying put. He's coaching St. John's. Now, does he fulfill the entire 6 years of his day? I don't know that, but I remember asking him. I said this the other day to Sal. I remember asking him up in Providence. We were having drinks. He got snowed out his jet. He was going to. He was getting ready to go to Florida for the Christmas holiday. And after I did the game with Mink, I stayed
the night because I didn't feel like driving. It was like 7 hours. It was brutal with the snow. So I just got up early the next day rather than driving back to New Jersey forever in 3 o'clock in the morning. I got a hotel room anyway, and the school paid for it, of course, in a nice hotel, the Omni up there. So I bumped into Rick at the bar. We were basically closing the bar, and I asked him. Yeah, I said, could you still coach in the NBA? He said, no way. And he said, I couldn't do it from an energy perspective. And I think, number one, I think he's truly committed to leaving St. John's in an amazing place, number one. Number two, he just said, he's like, I could do it in terms of relating to the players. Like, I just couldn't do it energy-wise. Like, you know, you watch Rick, and he's just always, like, he's not nuts, but he's so engaged every possession. You know, watch the screen, watch the back door, watch this, watch that. More on defense. And you can't do that 82 games a year. You can't do it. So it's an interesting question because I think if the Knicks, if their fate goes the way, and you heard yesterday's show, and if you didn't, you should check out my Knicks take on the free Odyssey app on WFA and YouTube, the open of the show. Very candid, very pointed. Knicks are going nowhere this year. That's the short version. And if it goes the way I think it's going to go, I think Tom Thibodeau is going to be out. And I do think he's going to be looking for a new coach, James Dolan. It's not going to be Pitino. I don't even want to throw logs on the fire because I'm not trying to get Tom Thibodeau fired, but I'll throw this one name out there. Could be preposterous. Hey, doesn't look like Danny Hurley's having that much fun at UConn these days, does it? Now, he just turned down the Lakers job and he got, you know, more money from UConn. Any coach like Danny, he's got it written in that contract. When the NBA comes calling, I've got outs. I guarantee he's got outs. I don't know. Would he be interested in coming here and coming home? Jersey City kid, coach the Knicks? I don't know. I think it's more realistic than Rick Pitino doing it. 888-808-1019 is the number. We got an hour to go. And we got a lot of good topics here. The quarterback stuff for the Jets and the Giants with the combine. Obviously, Johnny's. The Mets pitching gets thinner and thinner by the day. Their need to make a trade. I'll throw that on the table coming up here as well. And we'll get back to the calls at 888-808-1019. All right.